And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, A Garden Eastward, was written by Joseph Mindell.
On a summer evening, when the sky was not yet dark, he would take her hand and they would climb the hill, they and their two sons. There they sat in the sun's last rays that cut the twilight like flaming swords. And he would talk of that other place.
The fruit was on the trees all the year round. Do you remember?
I keep thinking how soft the earth was. No matter how far you walked, you never tired.
Listen, my sons. This is a thing to hear and remember. There were no stones to bruise the feet, no thorns to scratch. It was never cold, even at night, and the wind was...
Oh, I'm sorry, Father.
Don't stop, Father. Tell us how it used to be. The wind, you said. Tell us how it was always gentle and filled with the smell of flowers and incense and made a sound like flowing water and...
The singing of the birds in the...
One son falls asleep...
Don't be angry with me.
Did I say I was angry?
It's just that it's getting late.
Only for you, not for your brother.
He? Why should he be tired?
I get up in the morning no later than you.
Yes, and then you take the sheep to graze and lie on your back and count the clouds. While I plant and dig in the earth and break my back to make things grow in this rock.
What do you know
of
my...
Stop it, both of you. Do you hear? Stop quarreling and listen to your father.
Let them be.
Tell them how it used to be, so they will know and remember.
Let them be. One son falls asleep... And the other knows what I will say before I see.
You told us before, Father.
Then listen again.
Why, Mother? Why must we hear about a place we never saw and can never hope to see? I'm going to sleep. Let him listen. He can sleep in the afternoon tomorrow.
What do you know about it? Have you ever searched the fields and the woods all night long for a lost lamb? Have you walked for a week with a flock to find good pasture? What do you know about how tired I am?
I know that I didn't choose to be made a tiller of the soil.
Did I have a choice?
But I'm glad... I'm glad I'm not like you, stooped and coarse and dirty.
Yes, you think you're better, don't you, with all your fine ways and
be
your...
Be still! Be still, my sons, and listen. You, Cain, and you, Abel. There were no stones and no thorns in this place you never saw. And there was no anger.
Adam returned from dreams of paradise, and they walked down the hill, their feet bruised by stones and scratched by thorns. His son slept, but Adam could not sleep, and Eve saw that he was troubled, and she was also awake.
You're still thinking of those days.
They were days to be remembered, Eve. The fragrance of the air, the speech of the birds, how the angels came to visit us. How you looked on that first day.
I will not forget, Adam.
But when I try to tell our son...
Must they also know?
Do you know what it's like when I try to tell them? Sometimes you would wander off by yourself there in the garden. And when you returned, you would tell me of the new birds you had seen, of the fruit of strange trees.
Once I saw... It's over now. I'm gone.
You would tell me, and I could... comprehend so little. Pale shadows of your memory. Eve, I will not talk again to Cain and Abel of those days.
You will do what you think is right.
Are they to remember my memories? No, I will not talk of them again. Now, we'll sleep.
Adam. Adam, will you sleep sitting up?
And yet, Eve... Maybe there is something more than my memories. Maybe there is something that must be told and remembered.
I don't know, Adam. But it may also be that our sons must find their own Eden.
Get them out of here! Abel, get your sheep out of my barley field!
That's what I'm doing, can't you see?
I'll kill them! They're trampling the grain! I'll kill them!
What's the matter with you, Cain? Did I lead them here on purpose?
I don't care why you did it! Get them out!
Go, go.
I warn you, Abel!
I warn you, Abel.
No, Cain. Cain, my son, do not speak such words.
You want me to sing for joy? You saw what happened.
I'm afraid of such words. Once spoken, they have a power of their own.
Have no fear. Words cannot harm your son, Abel.
I have two sons. Here. I brought you cheese for your midday meal.
I'll eat barley bread.
Take the cheese and give me bread to bring to Abel.
You always have a plan.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't you? We will each of us eat the fruit of the other's labor, and we will be brothers, Abel and I. Is that it?
You are brothers.
Enough! Here's bread for Abel, and bring him the cheese as well. I won't eat it.
You're still angry, Cain. What happened with the sheep was an accident.
How do you know? And what difference does it make?
It was an accident. Why should you be angry at Abel?
Then I'm not angry at Abel. Enough, I say.
Or at me, for bringing you food.
I'm not angry at you.
Yet there's anger in your eyes and in your voice.
You must have reasons, mustn't you? Here, let my hands be a reason. Look at them. Clods of earth calloused and crusted with dirt. Let my back be another reason. Touch it. Touch it, I say. Feel how bent it is, how twisted from digging in the ground. I'm angry. Yes, I am angry. And I have reason to be. For I am bound to the earth. And all the earth is cursed.
Look upon me, O Lord. Look upon Adam, whom you created. Here am I on your earth, filled with loneliness and confusion. O Lord, let me hear your words again and the sound of your voice.
Father? You're alone, Father.
Yes, Abel, I am alone.
I heard a voice and I thought...
For a time I was alone there, too, in that other place. But the angels used to come and walk beside me and talk of, oh, such things I cannot describe.
Sometimes I think I've heard an angel. But it's always a bird or a creature of the forest.
And once, only once, Abel, I heard God's own voice.
God's voice? What is the sound of it, Father?
Like the sound of... Like... I do not know how to tell you.
If he should speak to me, how will I know?
You will know, Abel. I hope that you will know when God speaks to you.
What are you doing, Abel?
Building.
I can see that. What are you building?
An altar.
I could build a bigger altar, twice as big.
Then build it, Cain. By all means, build an altar.
When you've finished it, what will you do?
Why do you want to know?
Tell me or not, but don't examine me.
I'll tell you. When the altar is built, I'll bring roast meat, fat roast meat, and offer it to God. And then...
Go on, go on. Then what?
Then maybe God will speak to me.
And me? What about me? Abel, will you give me meat to roast?
If you want it, Cain.
Of course I want it. Why shouldn't I also make an offering to God?
With my meat?
What have I to offer? Dry wheat bread. Cakes of barley and oats.
You planted the seed and ground the flour and baked the bread. Yes. Yes,
these hands labored and made something out of bare earth. God will understand.
Still, if you want the meat.
No, it's no good to me. I have my own offering.
All the same, I... I see it now. I see the trick.
What are you talking about?
You're clever, Abel. You persuaded me, thinking to yourself, surely God will know how to choose.
Do what you like, Cain. I don't want to quarrel with you.
For surely you thought roast meat is superior to dry bread, as Abel is superior to Cain.
Have I said that? Those are your thoughts, not mine.
Oh, no. I'm not clever enough to have such thoughts.
Why do you set us against each other? We're brothers.
I'm not clever. I'm Cain, who grovels in the earth, coarse and filthy. You're the clever one, brother. But Abel, my brother, I'm strong.
Where are you going, Adam?
Only to the top of the hill.
It's dark. You can see nothing.
A corner of the sky is always lit, even on the darkest night.
Did you know that, Eve?
Eden is where it always was. I don't have to look.
I like to sit up there and think about many things.
No, Adam, no more. It was all so long ago. We sorrowed for so long, and then we stopped grieving and could remember without pain. Adam, why are you beginning again?
Maybe because everything is not finished yet.
It is, it is. There's no use wishing for something you can't have.
Is that what you think, Eve? That I'm still longing for the Garden of Eden?
You're not? Adam.
It was good there, wasn't it? The ease, the quiet, the peace, and the beauty. You were beautiful then, Eve.
Then?
You were a child, and I was a child. And it was a child's beauty with a kind of emptiness.
Was it, Adam? And now?
Now, there are lines in your face. Your hands are rough and scratched.
Oh.
But don't hide your face, Eve.
It's old and ugly.
No. You were a child. Now, you're a woman. You're my wife, and we have two sons. And together, with rough, scratched hands, we've built a home in the wilderness and made the hard earth give nourishment. We did it together, Eve. And it is a beautiful thing. Why should I want to go back to Eden?
And why should I, if you are here? But you keep looking westward, as if Eden was still in your thoughts.
We have two sons. Eve, it isn't enough what I've done. It isn't enough to teach them how to snare wild animals, to plant seeds and care for sheep.
How else could they live on the earth?
They would learn that without me. They've already learned more of this earth than I can teach. But they were never in Eden. And if I don't tell them what Eden meant, they will never know.
Then you will tell them.
When I try, I don't know what to say. When I speak, I say the wrong things, and they still don't know. And all the time, Eden grows more distant. Maybe. Yes, yes, maybe if. Abel, Cain, come, both of you.
What is it, Father?
Where is Abel?
How should I know? Why do you ask me where my brother is?
Whom should I ask? But never mind. Find him, Cain, and tell him to make ready, and prepare yourself as well. Well,
what do you want us to do, Adam?
Hurry. Get ready, Eve. We are starting on a journey.
Adam journeyed back to the place where once he lived, and Eve walked with him hand in hand, and their sons followed. When they stopped in the evening to rest, Adam did not rest, went off a little way and was alone.
The memory of Eden grows dim. Be gentle with me, O Lord. Let me hear again the sound of your voice.
Adam listened, but there was no sound, and all the night time of the earth.
I cannot remember. Let me therefore bring my sons near to the garden, where I learned that which they must know in order to live. Be with me, O Lord, that I may know how to tell them.
Adam
In the morning, they journeyed again, and on the second night, half the sky was lit, and the sons of Adam were afraid. They stood to the east of the Garden of Eden and hid their eyes from the flaming sword that turned every way.
How can he bear to look at it, Cain? And what does he see?
Nothing, you fool. How can he see anything in that fire except what is in his mind?
Come closer, my sons. Cain, Abel.
Maybe if we went to where he's standing.
I'll stay here. It's close enough for me.
Do not tremble so, Abel.
Let us go back, Father. Let's go home.
Not yet. Cain, lift up your head. You don't have to be afraid.
I'm not afraid. The flames blind me.
Open your eyes and look through the flames.
Why? Why should I look?
Why? Eden lies beyond them.
Even if it does, and even if I should see it, what then? There is still a wall of fire between me and Eden. I'm going home.
No, wait.
While I wait, the weeds will grow up in the fields and choke the stalks of grain, and the work of weeks will be for nothing. I'm going home.
On this spot, God spoke once long ago. Here, where you are standing, my son.
Are you coming with me, Abel?
Wait a little while, Cain.
No. God has already spoken. He will not speak again.
Only a little while.
But Adam, our father, will tell us again how it was in Eden in the old days. About the soft earth and the gentle wind, about the fruit waiting to be picked, and the angels who guided his steps. Ask him why he tells us these things.
Be still, Cain.
Ask him, Abel. He won't tell you, but I will. He needs our eyes to freshen his memory of Eden.
Stop it. You'll make him angry.
I'm the one who's angry.
Cain, my son. Whatever I know of Eden is not mine alone. I want it for you as well, if I can find the word.
I don't want to hear any more. All of Eden will not straighten my crooked back or take the pain from my bones. I won't be taunted with stories of paradise, knowing I must return to the earth.
The earth is your home. Where would you want to go?
To Eden! Will you take me there?
I have brought you as near as any man can go to this spot.
I know where once God spoke. And I also know what he said you have told me. Thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth to thee. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. I know the words. And I know that he also said, the earth is cursed.
No.
Yes. You told me long ago, but if no one had told me, I would still know it by every day that I have lived. The earth is cursed.
That is not the whole meaning.
It's enough meaning for me.
Cain, I understand now what I must tell you. Listen.
No, you listen. You offer me a glimpse of paradise, but I will not have it because I cannot enter. And I know why I cannot. I know on whose account.
You said enough, Cain.
Eden is denied to me because of what you did.
I will not let you say such things.
A slap is so little extra pain, Mother.
I had to stop you, my son.
You cannot stop me from saying what I know. If the earth is cursed, it is because of the wrong that you also committed.
Cain!
I'll go after him, Mother.
No, Abel.
I'll talk some sense into him and bring him back.
Stay here, Abel. Abel, don't go!
They don't understand, Eve.
I have two sons, and they are strangers.
I don't know what Eden is, nor what they are, or why.
Adam, I'm afraid.
I must talk to them. Hurry, Eve. I must find them and talk to them before it's too late. Or is it already too late? Where is Abel?
How should I know?
Cain, where is your brother?
Maybe in the pasture with his flock.
I looked. He's not there.
Then maybe he's on a hillside asleep. How should I know? Am I my brother's keeper? Why do you look at me?
You're hiding your hands.
They're stained and ugly. Am I always to account for Abel, what he does and where he is?
Show me your hands, Cain.
They are cursed. As the earth is cursed.
Don't go, Cain.
My hands. I have work to do in the barley field.
The work can wait. I will not let you run away again.
You will not let me. Eden is closed to me and the earth will not have me. Where will I run? And how will I hide what cannot be hidden? Oh, where shall I hide?
I'm afraid, Father.
Now, Cain. Now you are afraid.
Wherever I go, I will be hunted.
Yes. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer.
Whoever finds me will kill me.
God does not want your life. There is a sign set upon you, a mark by which men will know you and what you have done.
By which they will know me and kill me.
No, God will not allow it.
Now I have God's protection. May I speak, Father?
A strange thing for you to ask. Your meekness comes too late.
What I have done is done. Maybe it is also too late to talk of how it might have been if you... if you had not left Eden. If I had also lived in Eden with Abel, my brother, on the fruitful earth under the fragrant sky.
What are you trying to say, Cain?
The deed is mine, but of the blame there may be enough for more than one. You're not angry.
I am your father. I blamed myself long before you thought of giving me a share. I am not angry.
Then you do not know what I mean. One deed is mine, but the other was yours, and I was punished for it. I was banished from Eden and condemned to the bitter earth and to the deadly end for your sin in Eden. You do not deny it?
What should I deny? That I ate of the tree of knowledge, and God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil.
You were driven from paradise. And I was punished.
Cain, my son. What a waste. What a waste.
Don't pity me. Only acknowledge your responsibility.
You never understood, you and Abel. And I did not see how deep was the well of envy and bitterness. For that I blame myself. Cain, how were you punished?
Do I have to tell you who knew both worlds? No tender fruit dropped in my mouth. I dug in the earth with hands the color of earth. And the earth yielded me thorns and thistles.
Listen, Cain, and understand.
It's too late for understanding.
Still, you listen. In Eden, I was like a child. But then I knew good and evil. And the knowledge was also yours. If I had known the words to tell you. Are you listening, my son?
It is too late, but I am listening.
We are no longer children, but men in God's image and free. Do you understand, Cain? Free to choose good or to choose evil, to live or to die. Free to create something out of dust and rock and thorns.
Eden was sweet. And the punishment was hard.
What can man create in paradise? We were banished from Eden. But Cain, my son, God sent us out and gave us the whole earth in which to live as men.
Cain went out and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Adam and Eve were alone again, until a son was born to them, and his name was Seth. He was a child, and then he was a man, living on the earth and dreaming of Eden. And Adam, his father, searched for words to explain the meaning of both, so that Seth would know for his life and for the time of his children. And so it began all over again.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Samuel Brockstein, Chairman of the Nassau-Suffolk Cabinet of the National Planning Committee and member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Brockstein.
In the eternal problem of handing down a way of life to children, we must realize that there is no ready-made Eden. One has to implant the seed, nurture, and watch over it so that the result will be a rich and fruitful life. In order to make life more meaningful, it is not sufficient to tell your children or bring them to the door of Eden. You must enter and live with them. It isn't enough to find the words, even if one is articulate. Deeds, as an example, are by far the true teacher. The good life must not be allowed to become a memory. Man must constantly live with God, else his memory grows dim, and he loses the ability to implant his faith in the generations to come. Man was born free and equal. He was given the ability to choose between good and evil. In order to remain free, he must utilize his God-given energy and strength, not on envy and greed, but to create out of dust and rock and thorns a place for himself and his brother. For I am my brother's keeper. The Midrash, which is the great ethical commentary on the Bible, tells us that Eve, after long deliberation, chose to give Adam the fruit of the tree of knowledge at the expense of eternal life. This June, as many Junes in the past, has witnessed the imparting of degrees to thousands who have tasted of the tree of knowledge and have enriched their lives culturally and scientifically. These man-made Edens are the result of great effort on the part of sons and daughters combined with the sacrifice and devotion of the parents. Seeing these trees, devoted to the ethical enhancement of mankind, give forth their fruits of knowledge and life, brought to mind a passage in Genesis, and God saw that it was good.
Thank you, Mr. Brockstein. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Garden Eastward, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Carl Weber, Ann Seymour, Bill Lipton, and William Redfield. The narrator was Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. This weekly program is directed by Daniel Sutter and presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.